Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The I Am Well show, and this is your host, Annemieke van Eyckel from the Netherlands. And reach me on www.crystallinetherapies.com, and crystalline is with LLINE. Our guest for tonight is Sabine Steinbach from Germany, and we are hoping to be able to get her in because we found her. But now, Sabine is a very special lady. She's a holistic healer first. She's, of course, a psychic medium and a spiritual teacher. And she lives in Germany in the Ruhr area. So that's an industrial area. And she's working closely with angels, archangels, and other spirit guides. She's also access to the Akashic records, which she can see relevant, often karmic behavior occurring in past lives. So a very interesting point there for a lot of people. And this has an impact on our current lives, of course. Once a week, she's offering public oracle cards readings in German language on YouTube recording. She makes videos of about 10 to 20 minutes long with cards she shows, and that is the reading for that week. And she has two of them, the normal reading, as we would say, and the lover reading. So the one is on Sunday evening, and the other one is on Wednesday afternoon, and you can view them. They're on Angel Oracle, or better said, Engel Oracle, and it's E-N-G-E-L-N-N-O-R-A-K-E-L, German. I'm going to offer them in English as well, but not my moment. She does speak perfect English, so that will not be a problem here. She offers private readings. She offers seminars for healing, and on the I Am Well show, we will be talking to her about how to receive guidance from our spirit guides and our angels for everyday questions regarding walking our path for our highest good and that of the planet. So we will also discuss about how much our past lives still influence our present lives and about practicing energy and earth healing. And, you know, our past lives do influence our present lives. There is a lot of karma that we can heal and that we can get rid of by understanding where it's coming from, by understanding who we are, who we were, and what the karmic issues are that we are dealing with. And knowing that, which you can get from Sabine in private reading, you can understand what the signs are, and you can understand what your options and possibilities are and what you can do. And I personally can say that I've had a lot of fun with Sabine. She's really fun. She's really fluent in English, no problem at all. She also offers, the summer of 2015, she offers a special retreat, a one-week special retreat in Africa. So you can find that, find her website, plus you can find that the travel to Africa on her website, and that is Das Engel Oracle at web.de, and that's D-A-S-E-N-G. L O R A K E L at W D point E. That's her web. And her web, her email, and her website is www.engel-geisthilung.de. Engelgeistheilung.de. That's German, and that's why I'm spelling it, because most people don't know what it is. Now, I am hoping that she's calling in either by Skype or by phone, and that she's able to from Germany at the moment. I've tried to reach her, but I couldn't. So, Justin, have you found her already? Justin, have you found Sabine already? Has she called in yet?
No, she has not called in.
Okie dokie. Going back to what Sabine said, And I know that you're into a lot of that as well, because you are also a shaman, a fully trained shaman, and into a lot of the holistic area. And, you know, Akashic Records is a little bit elusive term. Do you know anything about the Akashic Records?
Yeah, the Akashic Records are, as far as I understand it, is an ethereal record library that's not housed in this realm. It exists in the spirit realm or another dimension, and it's only achieved to get there through spirit, and all the information is written through frequency and vibration. And as you read the information, it kind of like resonates through you, and you either experience the information and become the information, and so you have the information. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. But, you know, is everybody able to read these records? Is it a matter of intention, or?
Well, yes and no. In order to tap into them, there's a lot of things that, as what I've understood, to tap into it, you got to really evolve yourself psychically. Beat down your ego.
Mm-hmm.
Open up your spiritual psychic side. Let your spirit free. Be free to travel. Remove your logic. Because where these Akashic Records, are beyond where your logic can travel to, and traverse out to them with that intent and focus, go to them, and you can then experience them.
It means that I should be able to access them, but I've seen them. I've been there. I've seen them, but I couldn't read them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, right, that's not helping.
Yeah, I totally understand you there. I myself haven't read them either, but I know a lot of people who claim they have.
Mm-hmm.
I find them similar to the lore of the Book of Octaves, which dates back to, I think it was, who was it? Was it Pythagoras? That supposedly wrote the Book of Octaves. It's a book that's written in harmonic frequencies, and as you read them, the images come forth from the pages, like the Akashic Records. But then again, some say that the Akashic Records are like metaphorical. They're constructs that help you understand the energy flows around you in a way that are understandable to you, because as we understand spirituality, we are the center of our own universes. We're not the center of the universe, but our own universes we are. And to understand things, our spirit / subconscious relates things that make sense to us. And appearing
the
energy
make sense.
As books and as a huge library would make sense in that aspect as a way for us to consciously comprehend what we're experiencing. Because if we're not conscious of it, it'd be confusing.
Yeah, it's still a bit confusing, but, you know, what you just explained,
mm-hmm.
that makes sense, you know, understanding energies around you and in you and coming and going and all that. That makes sense and has to do with, you know, what you are and what you send out is what you attract. It has to do with your karma and all that and who you are in this life,
mm-hmm.
as well. So that's all interconnected. So that would make sense, but I understand those, so... But what she's doing is really something else. I've been working with her a few times.
Oh, good. Are you there, Anamiki? Did we lose you?
Yes, I heard you. Yes.
Okay.
I heard something else as well. It was like someone else was on the line.
Oh, no. Just me.
Well, you never know. When we get online, you never know what else comes on the line, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Last week I was hearing another lady speaking on the line, and you weren't speaking at all, and our guest was talking. And I remember me asking if you were talking?
Yeah, but John Evans is something else, you know? You never know what happens when you talk to him, because then all sorts of energies come in. I've been on Skype with him for a longer period of time, And oh my God, you know, that was quite quite something. But it doesn't seem like our guest is going to call in today. Should we just have a very interesting recording from last week with John Evans about exorcism and about everything connected to that and that you shouldn't do it at home?
Yeah, I do have that uploaded here if you want me to play that. Let me just find the file. And
that
might
be a good idea because I don't think she can connect.
Yeah, I'm not seeing her, so I do believe she's having some technical issues, which we have been having lately for some reason. So give me one second here.
Yeah,
and
it's
gonna be
a problem, maybe, you know. Usually she has good connection with me, but I am in Europe as well, so it might be a problem for her to connect from where she is to, you know, to the United States somehow.
Yeah. Let me see if I can't find the file here.
Mm-hmm. It was
okay,
an interesting show last week with John Adams. That was really something else.
Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
So that's interesting to just replay that again so that people can actually, you know, actively re-listen it today. And in case they want to know more about John, because it's not just exorcism. He has a whole school out there. And he teaches so many things. You can do so much with John. It's just so very interesting. And all the information is in the show, so that would be great.
Yes, definitely. Okay. But I do want to let you guys know that since we are about 13 minutes into the hour, the show may go over a little bit. So if you do get cut off from hearing the entire archive, I'm going to go back into the show and edit the little blurb about the show and give you guys the link to the actual archive so you can listen to the entirety of the show as well, okay?
Yes.
So with that, we will see you guys next week with a live show.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to start this.
And gentlemen, this is the I Am Well show, and this is your host, Annemieke van Eijkeren. Tonight we have a very special episode because our guest, John Evans, works with exorcism. Not just with exorcism, but this is the topic for tonight because of Halloween coming up. So we thought we'd pick an appropriate topic. Now, John Evans was raised in a family deep in spiritual tradition and balance in the Eastern and Western philosophies, so that's very broad, and his deep thirst for knowledge helped him to develop a strong grasp of esoteric teachings and pinpoint accuracy for applying them to people's lives. His gentle and compassionate approach helps people see where they get in their own way. So John goes straight to the core of issues and moves clients into their own strength. His trainings have enabled him to help others grasp their personal power and utilize it to not only become an unstoppable force in their own lives, but also to create deep healing and a passion for life. Empowered and joyful, they step out of the passenger seat and become the creators of their dreams. John has a natural ability of identifying a person's obstacles and gently and strongly working with them to move through challenges. Clients quickly become more confident and happy and begin achieving their goals. And, of course, he has a nice website, which we will mention later, Sancti Center, and is in Los Angeles, California. Now, there is so much to John that we can't possibly do that in 1 hour. So we have our topic for tonight. If you want to call in, please do so. You can either use the Skype connection. If you can't see the Skype button behind the telephone number on the show page yet, then please refresh the page and use Skype. If you want to use the phone from outside USA, first dial 001 and then 347-838-9142. Please press 1 to be in queue and live with us on the air. Good evening, John. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hello? Can I hear you? Hello, John?
Hello. Hello.
Ah, there you are. I was like, where is he? I was like, that starts off real nicely. He disappears.
You're
speaking about exorcism, making things disappear. Okay, we had a real long chat before the show about all the ins and outs. And we're going to keep it simple because there is so much to this topic. And we want to keep it understandable. Now, on television, they sometimes say when they do something stupid, don't do this at home. The same goes for exorcism. Guys, don't do this at home. Please ask someone like John to help you. I mean, you don't want to mess in this matter. You don't want to just dabble in it because the chance to be harmed is absolutely there, is very big. So if you don't know what you're doing, just ask for help. John, first of all, how can people reach you?
Oh, well, way to reach me is by my website, sanctucenter.com. My contact information is there.
Yes. And it's www.sanctucenter, and that is S-A-N-C-T-I, and then center.com. Los Angeles, California, USA. This is a very nice place to be. I have lots of questions. I warned the people just now to not do this at home. Can you say something about the risks of performing exorcism?
Yeah, this is not you want to do, and honestly, I never thought I would be doing this as part of my life experience. I kind of fell into it because of my background, but so even with my background, still a real life dangerous situation, and there are so many ways you can be injured, and in so many ways that this work can impact your life, that without any real training, it's really helpful to say that even if you did the work successfully, that you did not get injured in such a way that it can't destroy your life somehow down the road. Because when you're doing an exorcism, you're actually fighting a demon, and demons don't play fair. They find your greatest fear, your greatest even, and they're going to attack that. So whatever you think may be, like, may fall apart 3 weeks, 6 months after you do this, and there's no way to bring it until you get healed or cleaned off or exercised. So this is not a game. It's not a toy. It's not something to do on a Friday night because you're bored, or it's not because you care and need help. Get help. Don't do this if you have any real training. Movies aren't real training. Not real training. Someone else's advice isn't real training. Real training means that you have someone who's actually done this, that's been initiated, knows how to send the right vibrations, knows how to do the right rituals, knows how to make holy water, knows how to use the holy water, knows how to use spiritual implements, and knows to take on and overcome the demonic influences in place. And there are many levels to demonic influence. So an exorcist extreme case, but there are so many levels of influence. So it's not a game, real, and I never believed it was real. I was forced into it in my own life experience, and then there was no turning back. And you can't undo the Pandora's box. Once you open your mind and your reaction to this kind of work, there's no going back. It's just your psyche found. There's no altering reality. No, ghosts are real. It changes your reality. What you know is totally reality. So it's not something you want to or do. It's something if you're going to get the change. We need to get the help, but don't dabble in this. This is not a game.
Exactly. It can be very, very, very dangerous. So just go to www.sanctycenter.com and ask John. If you really have a problem, he has a few other people that he works together with. If necessary, the whole team comes on. John, earlier you mentioned something to me, the Kabbalistic cross, and that it's often used in the wrong way, and that there is a wrong way and a right way, and people usually don't know, first of all, how to use it and all that, and make mistakes. What is the Kabbalistic cross, and what's the danger of using it wrong?
So that's a great question. I'm really glad you brought that up. One of the things we need to do is we need a whole a vibration of light to protect ourselves. And we can do this every day, several times a day. And the more you do this, the better you're going to be. The Kabbalistic cross is a ritual designed to invoke the power of the cross on the tree of life onto our person, which is actually calling the powers of God and the angelic host to protect us. And the words are actually right out of the Bible. It's the translation is, "Thou art the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," which is right at the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. The Jewish verbiage, it's Ate Malkuth VeGevura VeGedula Amen. So the way it's on YouTube and several books, but a lot of them teach this incorrectly. I don't know the motivation for that, but I do know it's incorrect because of what they do. And as I explained, it will become very obvious to you. When you take your two fingers, your index finger and your pointer, and you want to touch your finger, and you say, which means thou art. And the next thing you want to do is you want to take those same fingers, you want to touch just below your belly button or your will center, above your groin, below your belly button, and say, mouth means the kingdom. And then you touch your right shoulder and you say Be'ebora, the power, and then the left shoulder Be'gedula, which means the glory, and then you put your hands in prayer at your heart, and this is where you say Le'olam, which means eternity, and then you can bring your hands to your waist or palm forward and you say Amen, and this is anchoring the cross in your being. And this places the cross from your forehead to your belly button to your right and left shoulders, which cross right about the heart level, which makes it up the cross because the top part is shorter than the bottom. And what a lot of people do when they teach this is they go from head to heart because they think, you know, the heart is the life center or the light center, and therefore you're connecting to your heart. But what happens if you go to your heart from shoulder to shoulder, this means that the bottom half of this line that you're putting on is shorter than the top half, and this places an upside-down cross on you. And an upside-down is represented in magical terms as walking from God. It means stepping away from light, which in other religious terms is used by satanic terms. So I'm not telling you it's satanic because that's a religious concept. I'm telling you, in magical terms, it means I'm walking away from light. Where the right side up cross means I'm walking. So you touch the forehead or below the belly button, right shoulder to left shoulder, hands in the heart, and then hands at the side, or the hand motions. And the words are Ate Malhutu Kevra VeGedula Elam Amen. And these can all be toned. And you can find the word online or in many, many Kabbalistic books. It's a very common ritual. The handling is done incorrectly, bring a negative versus a positive impact.
Right, and if people are not sure that they are seeing it correctly, they can always call you up or send you an email like, can we please connect? I would like to, you know, have the instruction correctly.
Well, yeah, I'll be happy to email the correct instructions to somebody. But like I said, there are YouTube have this online. A lot of them just go to the heart, though. Just remember, don't go to the heart. Go to the belly button, to the groin or below the belly button. And so this
exactly.
is like some of the secrets that are handed down. Authentic training is not available in training that you get from books. where books will give you information. They don't necessarily give you the correct information to get by. But authentic keys.
Right. Now, you hear so often that kids in high school and all that do seances or play with a Ouija board. How dangerous is that?
You know, so Ouija, the easiest way to explain a Ouija board is because a Ouija board is typically, it's a hit or miss. I will tell you Ouija board because what the Ouija board does is it opens up your consciousness, and everyone is working on it, and asks who's out there to come talk to us. And you get a good person every single time, and then one time you're a bad person. And when you get a bad spirit, that bad spirit then impacting your consciousness, your aura, environment, it can actually impact your health. And it's going to give you information which justifies its purpose, not yours. You can use the Ouija board to get good information, but you can also use the Ouija board to get really bad or destructive information. So because of that, because you don't really know who you're talking to on the other side, because you're not a trained channel or a trained psychic or a trained magician, you don't know what's on the other side of that veil, you're basically opening yourself up to whoever. So this is the same thing as saying, I'm going to walk and walk up to the first stranger and ask him a life advice. Because through the Ouija board is often just that person. Now, that person could have been dead a week or 1,000 years or a master of light, or it could be a demon. But it's just a spiritual being. And you don't know what you're getting. And you definitely can't trust the information, and it's dangerous because of that. And there have been more horror stories. I've heard about a lot of horror stories from Ouija boards where people had severe bad dreams and couldn't shake the negative feeling for like months or even years afterwards.
Oh, yes, I definitely believe so. Yeah, I've heard from people who actually were so damaged that they could never get away from it. Now, we see movies about possession. We see movies about exorcism and stuff like that. The Exorcist is the most common one that everybody's seen or heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But that is one demon on one person. Now, how far can that go? Can they affect, let's say, like a family that lives in a house, that one demon just grabs all the people? Does it, is it restricted to people who are alive, or can it go on to, let's say, like a whole bloodline, like people feeling that they're cursed, but it's actually a demon that's, you know, involved there and messing the whole thing up? And how can you do something with that? I mean, when people are already passed away, with those souls on the other side being affected by it, what are the possibilities and the problems there?
So that's a very, very good question, several good questions. Let me back up a little bit and say that there are many levels of influence. The lowest or the weakest level of demonic influence is like the voice on your shoulder or gives you negative feeling. It's always like anger buttons, frustration buttons, or your sadness button, or your depression, and it fills your mind with words that are not, but that are destructive, like suicidal thoughts, or envious thoughts, or angry, jealous thoughts. And so this is what we call an inner. And these demons tend to try to create as much chaos as they can by influencing a person. And some murders that have been committed in the last few years by this kind of demon, pulling the consciousness of an individual till they drive them literally to homicidal tendency. And then when the person kills a bunch of demon, causes that influence and that chaos, so the demon gains from that. The next level of influence is actually possess and take a soul. And this is what the movie The Exorcist is about. And so that is where a demon is actually trying to capture a soul. After a soul, then they, and the person dies, if they're not exorcised, then they take that soul down into the lower depths or the outer darkness or hell. And when they take them there, unless someone goes in to save them, they torture that being over a period of time and then make being a slave, which is basically another lower-level demon which serves them. But whatever chaos a demon can create empowers the demon with more energy. It literally feeds energy. It's like their drink. Fear, the more control, chaos they can create, the more power they gain. And in some cases, where people die, like ancestors, like your family may have an ancestor who was not necessarily possessed in real life, had extreme judgment or extreme wounding or extreme anger. That person, even dead physically, is still alive as a conscious. They just don't have a physical body. So now they're a ghost. And the soul has physical matter, mass. It has weight. So the demon can now possess this dead because that dead person is trapped in their negative ego and hasn't healed. To do that, that person can be imprisoned by that demon. But if that person then created a family trait with their actions, they've abused their family, the demon can now infect the DNA or the bloodline and gain more and more power by more and more people in that family. And so what happens is you have demons that grow in power, or demons, and it becomes a collective, or like a gang. And this is what creates something called like ancestral demon or ancestral possession, where your ancestors actually possessed, no one alive, but that's influencing the decisions of the family. And so what happens is you end up with a family negative trait that found that no matter how much everyone tried it, it seems like it's just a family curse. And this concept is actually well known in Japan, and the Shinto priests in Japan perform exorcisms on family demons. It's actually what my mom did. She's a Buddhist holy. This is what my mom and my family did for generations, which I understand as a but as I started getting into this and started working, I found out what happened to my family, what was going on, what they were doing, and then I learned more about that work and incorporating it because of the mad influence on everyone's world. So the longer this influence occurs, the greater impact it has on other people's lives. I don't know if I answered all your questions, but
yeah, exactly. Well, I heard you say that it is important for a demon, or it can be important for a demon, to have more souls, like going for a whole family. And we talked about that earlier, and you said it gives them more power, it gives them more status, also among the other demons. Like it's a power game for them. What they do is more a power game. It's for their own benefit, for their own status, maybe to climb the ladder somehow. Can a lower status demon climb up that way and become a higher status demon?
So, you have to take a look at the energy of demonic as like an aristocracy, because they have princes and nobles, and then they have the leaders, and they have the peasants, and so they have many different levels of influence and control. And a demon does a great deed, the more it's recognized by other demons, and it will gain power and influence. So demons generally have that they work for, but that doesn't mean that they can't rise above. And because of the nature of demons, they're also very territorial and very combative. And they're also very very much about their own power and position. So when you get to the higher level of demons, though, it's very much an established aristocracy. So that doesn't vibe well with the very, very high level of demons, because they're so ancient and they've been in control for so long that they don't really lose their positions. But the lower level demons are always vying for position, authority, control. Because the more they get control, they have more influence, they can dominate, and the stronger they feel. The difference between demonic power and angelic power is demonic power feeds the negative ego, personal power. Well, angelic power feels your sense of passion and influence in light, so in your altruistic nature. When you're working with angelic power, you feel good. You feel like you're bringing good to the world, and other people are benefiting from service, and it doesn't matter if they know it's coming from you or not, and that just feels great all around. Where the power is all about the self and the growth within the self. So because of that, demonic energy at a low level is very, very strong compared to low level light worker. But you go to the higher level, they eat out very quickly, and then the higher level light workers can far outpower the because a single match can dispel darkness. So light overcomes
there's
darkness.
There's really a whole lot to it when you look at it like that. It's really very complicated. But the way you describe it, what is important to them and how they function, I would almost say you can compare them to the highest level of our society. They come from the same point of view. They work in the same way.
Yeah, it's all a reflection, right? As above, so below, as with God. So as above, so below doesn't to what's in heaven and what's on earth, but what's on earth and what's below earth. So demonic is a vibration levels of conscious humans, and then the verses are the higher level. So it's all reflective. So if you take a look at mankind, the nature of let's look at the. No, I don't like talking about bad things, but that's what this subject is about tonight. So if you take a look at the negative vices of humankind, the greed, the control, the envy, the manipulation, the step on whoever you can to get ahead. And the dominating forces that play in this world that are behind the scenes that no one seems to know about, that's an exact reflection of what goes on in demonic forces. And if you take a look at things in the world, well, that's the same thing that reflects on the hierarchy of life or the angelic side, where people are selflessly giving and helping and uplifting of it.
So would you say that if we would change the balance between the negative and the positive, let's say, you know, that we could influence those people who are doing all those nasty things. If we could change the balance here in our world, would the balance also shift in the other world?
So this actually brings the very interesting point of view because, you know, Jesus said the meek shall always inherit the earth. Those that are meek, they shall inherit the earth. And earth is a realm of duality. 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark. So earth is a realm of balance and balance of evil. So here at earth, we make this place uber important, and it does have it's not that important. It's important because we can learn and grow faster here than we can anywhere else. However, when we are finished with our life cycle here on Earth, on to the light. And the experiences of Earth we carry with us. So in the grand scheme of things, this is a drop in the bucket of eternity. It doesn't need to change. What needs to change is us. We need to evolve. So when we go on to the fourth spiritual world, we go there with great light. And there, and I don't know the exact numbers, but there are 16 hours of light and 8 hours of dark. And then we go to the spiritual world, and then maybe 20 hours of light and 4 hours of dark. And we go to the sixth, and then it's, you know, 23 hours of light and 1 hour. And then from there, we go on to the seventh world, where we become divine in our own consciousness. The earth itself is part of the process of evolution from the fall from the great divine light. We came from pure light of God in all levels, and then everything was perfect, and we lived with angelic hosts, and then we dropped down to earth. We fell through the veils. We fell into the cursed tree of earth, which is, you know, if you take a look at all your spiritual teaching, earth is where the demons are. We're on their turf here. This is their home. So this is why they have such a strong influence. But we stepped into here knowing we could survive and thrive because of who we are, because of our training, because of our light. And so we stepped into earth, and now we're here to prove we can. And then when we're done with here, we go back having proven that we have succeeded. We've lived our life. We've created a soul. We've overcome our darkness. And some will overcome it in great levels, and some will overcome it in minor levels. But back to, because that's where we came from.
So basically, this whole story brings a question up with me for after the break. That is, can we fight demons with light, with help of the angelic realms, of the great light source, God, if you want, itself? So we're first going to the commercial break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the RBR Network of radio shows. The RBR Network and the Rimpert Broadcast Network are a part of a program being developed by James Rimpert Powell, founder of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics and the creator of the Radio by Rimpert Network. The RBR Network page is at www.blogtalkradio.com/Rimpert, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. We encourage you to also check out Rimpert Broadcast Network at www.youtube.com. On Monday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, we have Pam Drennan with the Cosmic Contact Show, and at 8 p.m. it is Keith Blanchard with the Searchers Roadmap Show. Then on Tuesday at 8 p.m. it is Anamika with the I Am Well Show. On Wednesday at 7 p.m. it is The No-Show, hosted by Reverend Robert J.B. McMillan. At 8:30 p.m., James Rimpert Powell hosts the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, a 54-week program including support material and online coaching. On Thursday evenings, it is Daryl Clark coming to you from New York with the Progressive News Weekly at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Saturdays at 6:30 p.m., Eddie Milton is the host on Night Search, a program that has been on the air for 13 years. On Sunday at 11 a.m., the Core Concepts Show broadcasts the Core Concepts Lectures, which are held each Sunday. These are recordings of the Core Concept Lectures that we have each Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time in Memphis, Tennessee. And on Fridays and Sundays at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we will feature recordings from our affiliate station, Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. The Bookman Television Show is broadcast on the Comcast Cable Network in Memphis each Saturday at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Bookman Show, the Core Concepts Lectures, and the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program are all on the YouTube.com. You can access them by going to the Rimpert Broadcast Network channel. We would like to invite you to visit the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics at www.im-cor.org. The books are available in the bookstore, and you can view all three degree levels of the Institute. There are three free e-books, a free e-zine you can download called Lightways, and an information packet for first-time authors called the Author Packet. Before we get back to our show, we want to invite you to go to the website of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program at thelawsofmaterialwealth.com. Provides a look at the most comprehensive, interactive, and proactive personal development program available today. It includes the Laws of Material Wealth book, the workbook by the same name, 4 DVDs, a CD, an infomercial, 3 commentary outlines, and 54 weeks of support material and online coaching. Thank you for listening to the RBR Network of Shows. Enjoy the show.
And we're back after the break with the I Am Well show and today's guest, John Evans from the Sancti Center in Los Angeles. And you can find him at www.sanctiCenter.com, SANCTICenter.com. And we've been talking about a whole range of items that have to do with exorcism, the dangers for the exorcist, the levels of demons, why the demons come, what they can do, that they can also affect a whole family tree with, you know, people already passed away, that is a big problem and all that. And just before the break, I mentioned something about light, but first we have a caller. I hope she's still on the line, and that is Barbara, and she had a question. Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi,
Barbara. You had a question for John.
Yes, I was wondering, and this has nothing to do with exorcism, I was wondering about obstacles that are in me to allowing abundance in my life. Is that something that you can see, feel, whatever?
And so I assume you're asking me if I can read your energetic field right now?
Yes.
So first off, I would like you to change your languaging. Stop using the word abundance. Because abundance means a lot of, and everyone has abundance in their life. It's just not necessarily the abundance of what they want. And so, because you can have abundance of problems. So start using the languaging of prosperity.
Okay.
Or even rewards. And everyone has blockage of poverty. But actually, Barbara, I don't know, off the radio, off the phone, I don't normally do oracles, and I don't normally do oracle work just off the cuff. I mean, stuff like that, but I do private over the phone where I have time to connect to that, which is a different kind of energy to connect to than this kind of energy here.
Right.
So let me ask real quick. So, you know, I don't have a specific answer for you. I wish I did. I do have a general answer for you, which comes through.
Okay.
The general answer to all people with prosperity issues. And so there must be more than just you that has this question, especially at this day and time. Prosperity is directly associated to your internal light. Your inner light is what you feel you are worth and what you are willing to accept. So you may feel that you're worth a great, willing to accept less than what you're worth, so therefore your prosperity is diminished. So you're basically not being honest with yourself in this concept. If your self-worth is high, then what you're willing to accept for your self-worth must be equally to the measure. You can't say I have a high self-worth and then accept a $3 an hour job.
Right. So is there something that can be done to raise one's self-worth?
So there is that is directly associated with self-worth. And it's also the angel of confidence and courage. And that is Archangel Kamiel. And Archangel Kamiel will kick your butt. Get off your butt and do whatever is necessary. But there's also another angel. This is not an archangel, but an angel who's specifically for prosperity. So Kamiel is spelled K-H-A-M-E-L. K-H-A-M-A-E-L. I'm sorry, M-A-E-L, Kamiel. And then the other angel is the angel of... By the way, Kamiel is also the angel for justice. So get what you get out. So it's like karma. It's not really karma. So Kamiel is all about confidence and action and return. It's like the world aggressive, get things done type person. And then So if you work with, ask, just a candle, light a candle, and ask Kamiel to work with you to help you to overcome anything blocking you from being assertive, confident, self-worth issues, anything blocking you from being the most powerfully confident individual that you know you deserve to be. And then the angel for prosperity, because you can't work with the second one until you work with the first one, because you can ask for prosperity and not be willing to accept it.
Right.
So the angel for prosperity is Baria, B-A-R-I-E-L. And that's the angel, not an archangel, an angel for prosperity. So work with Kamiel, for at least 21 days. As you, as soon as yourself being a little more sort of, people may think you're a little mean or bitchy, they're tough luck. Okay? There's nothing wrong with being strong, confident. Don't be mean, but be strong, confident, and assertive. And there's nothing wrong with standing up for yourself.
Right.
Because I get that all the time. Right? Like, I'm too aggressive. But that, hey, whatever. They can get over it. And then, Bariel is the angel who works with Jupiter, planet of abundance, but before money, gaining wealth. In other words, prosperity. Not gaining negative things, not just having a lot of stuff, gaining specifically wealth. So Varia will help you to anchor in the frequency of prosperity and abundance, which will change how you feel about money. So on a magnetic, will naturally attract greater opportunity to you. These two in conjunction open doors for opportunity. Wealth is handed to you. Wealth is accepted and earned. And you earn it who you are and what you do. Wealth comes from people. People need to give you money because what you do is valuable and supports them. And you need that and receive it.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Was that a complete answer to your question, Barbara?
I think so, Anamika, and this has been an interesting show.
Yeah, it was very interesting, and I'm glad you called in. I was thinking of you. I was like, where's Barbara? And then Justin came in and said, Barbara's waiting. I was like, good. Thank you so much for calling in. I really hope this information will help you to move forward now.
Thank you. I think so.
Okie doke. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, there's always other things that can affect prosperity, but these are the biggest things that I think influence the most people.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
so, Anamika, you had a question regarding like hosts and to us in overcoming demonic energy.
We had a lot of information passing between us, and you mentioned about the higher a demon is. It differs how you encounter them, like the lower demons that are more earthly-like, more earth energy, like level 1, 2, 3. You should approach them in an earthly way, like with shamanic rites or Shinto rites or whatever, wherever people coming from, you know, in their walk of life, in every system, there is something in the work for demonization, for exorcism, for, you know, things like that. But there are also the higher level ones, the ones that are, well, comparable to ascended masters and angelic realms, because, you know, there's good and there's light and dark, and there is a mirror, and it's what's on one side is on the other side. So the higher level ones, if you encounter one, what would be the first thing to do? Because you mentioned, like, match what they have and then a little more. Like, at a certain point, you would have to call on God himself and the whole angelic realms to get them, you know, boxed.
Yeah. So I'd like to back up, if I can, to the subject just before the break, just a real quick, because I felt, you know, the earth being dual, 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark. But the thing is, we also have seasons, And like, so I'd like to clarify something. We have seasons where there's during a period, and so Earth goes through not only an annual season and a lunar season, but we also go through a season. And so there are periods of time where we have greater influences of light on Earth and then greater influences of dark on Earth. So like, so there will be maybe periods of 500 years or 1,000 years where the dark is really, really, really weak, and so the influences of light are very strong. That doesn't mean they ever go away, and then the pendulum will swing back as we approach another cycle. And so, you know, like the dark period where it was 1,000 years of darkness, almost literally 1,000 years if you take a look at the start and the end of the Dark Ages. And then right now we're entering a fertile ground. It's like the sides have been aligned and the battles are continuing, and we're trying to determine what's going to be in the next cycle. And we won the last battle, but there's always another battle coming up, and hopefully we can decide the next 5 to 10 years, and then one in 1,000 years. Who knows? But it's been a definite roller coaster for the last 20 years. So, angelic hosts serve us to shadows. You know, so there are levels of demonology, and I don't want to go deep into this because I don't want to inadvertently give people information that makes them think they can do this, because without training, you're really going to put yourself in danger. I'm the person that gives you enough information that you can hurt yourself. But I will say this, there's the lower level are just people who have not moved on, who are still really, really, really attached to something in the earth, something about their life. They could have been alcoholics, they could have been they could have been gamblers, they could have been obsessed with soap operas. It doesn't really matter. They had an obsession more to them than moving on. And moving on is where they connect to their family that has died and moved on. And so they're really more attached to their physical life. And it could be because they someone who's still alive. And so it actually maybe look at it as a positive thing where they just love with the person that was on the earth, and then they died and believe they want to be there and guide and protect, which sometimes parents do for their children, and so they don't move on. So, but people move on, and when they are attached, sometimes they get upset and frustrated. So these energies can be anywhere from just a ghost, a whole person ghost who would never do anything bad, to someone who's really upset and aggressive. And that's why you have all these different sightings going on. And so the lower level beings are really easy to take care of. You just send them into the light. And you do that with prayer. You do that with calling in light. And you know, you asked the question, or you said something earlier about when do you call in God? And I'll tell you point blank, I'm a coward. I call in God every single time. I don't ever do any of this work without calling God immediately. Just because I don't think it's ever about me, because a guy who spent a couple 20 years doing this work and training in it, but these demons have spent years doing this work. So what do I know compared to them? And on top of that, I'm just a guy and have minions, and their minions have minions, and their minions who have minions have minions. And so in the worst case scenario, you could actually be facing an army of demons or several, and it's still just you. So this is like a very dangerous type situation where you could easily die. And the last thing I want to do is make it about me. So I always call in God, and I always call in the angelic hosts. So